Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is our fourth lesson on the spiritual gifts. And tonight we're going to be looking at the varieties of administrations. The varieties of administrations. Or another way you could term that is the available ministries to serve within. The available ministries to serve within. Okay, so administrations simply means the ministries of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, verse 5. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, so just as a recap, in the first three lessons, we've explained what a spiritual gift is, who has them, of course, it's the believers, when they got them at salvation, and where God wants us to use them in the church. We have also looked in depth at the character traits of each one of the seven gifts. And I want to make a note here about those character traits, those lists that I gave out on lesson 2 and 3. Those character traits are only the explanation of the spiritual gifts to the best of our knowledge, okay? That's a man-made list. It's not scripture. So don't take it like it's holy writ and infallible. There could be some things that aren't right with those lists. But those traits were studied out by believers, good godly men. They are not infallible, but they did a really good job studying them out, okay? But the traits are certainly not scripture, so please don't take them that way. The character traits of the spiritual gifts that we looked at in lessons 2 and 3 are simply the best human explanation I have seen for describing the gifts in detailed terms, okay? That's all that is. But again, let's see what the Bible says the seven gifts are. Go back to Romans chapter 12, please. It's been a little while since we've been on this subject. Christmas happened, New Year's happened. Go back to Romans 12. And as we go there, verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So 1 Corinthians mentions the gifts, it mentions the administrations, and it mentions operations. And then it goes on to explain some of what it just said, but it does not give a new list of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 is not giving a new list of gifts anywhere in 1 Corinthians 12. Because the list of gifts was written down in Romans chapter 12 for us, okay? So Romans 12, this is the list of gifts. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So over here, I've got the spiritual gifts listed off in these top boxes. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. If you can't see it, that's what that says. And then I have some excellent artwork here. This is a church building, if you can't tell. And that's the steeple. Yeah, there we go. The steeple with a cross on top, there's the open door and some steps. And I've got it divided into, inside the church is divided into seven groups. And then there's a group outside the church, we're going to be looking at that. And so up here is the spiritual gifts, down here is the administrations, or the types of ministries to use those spiritual gifts in. And we're going to be looking at this lower part here tonight. Okay. So, The spiritual gifts, again, are prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. In everyday language, we could say that people with these gifts are proclaimers, servers, teachers, encouragers, givers, supervisors, and the merciful persons are distress/pain relievers. We have seen all that, and now we are going to move on to the administrations of the gifts, talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are four important words mentioned in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we need to understand. First of all, the word gifts. There are diversities of gifts. Verse 4 says that. The word gifts, we've talked about that a little bit in the first session. The word gifts means charisma. The definition of that is a divine gratuity or gift, a spiritual endowment, religious qualification, or a miraculous faculty, a free gift. Okay, so that's charisma, the spiritual gift. And then administrations. What in the world are we talking about when we say administrations? It's from the Greek word diakonia, which literally means attendance of a servant, aid, service, minister, administer, or administration, or servicing, or serving. Okay? So it's literally talking about serving others, the administration or the administering of the spiritual gifts. And then the other words are in verse 5 and 6. Now, and there are diversities of operations. And then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, the manifestation. So the words operations and manifestations. Operations is the Greek word energema, which means an effect, operation, or working, a working. And then the word manifestation means phanerosis. It literally means exhibition, expression, a bestowment, or, of course, manifestation. Okay? So these gifts, they are a free gift from God when you get born again. They are for us to serve with. They are to show an effect. They are to be exhibited or expressed or manifested by us. Okay? So that God fully intended for us to use our gift. So tonight we're going to be studying what are the ministries of the church that we are to serve or use our gift in order to be a blessing to others and give fulfillment to our spiritual life. So again, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This passage gives us a list of workers that God gave to the earth. This is the passage listing the different ministries of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Okay, so the beginning of chapter 12 is an overview. It lists the idea that there are gifts. It never goes into what specifically the gifts are. It then lists the idea of administering the gifts. And then it lists the idea of operating the gift. And it then jumps into the operation of the gift first. And it takes a little detour and talks about us all being one body and members one of another. And then it goes back to explaining the administrations of those gifts in verse 27. Verse 27 is where it explains what it talks about in verse 5. Verse 5 says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay, so what are the different administrations? Well, verse 27 begins that explanation. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then it goes on to give us a little bit of a clue as to should we all be doing one job? Are all apostles? Nope. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And of course, that more excellent way is using your spiritual gift in love, as chapter 13 goes on. We'll probably get into that later on at the end of our series here. Okay? But it lists the offices that are in the church. It lists the ministries, if you will, that are in the church. Now keep your place and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your place here. But jump over real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us a list, not of the offices per se of the church, but it gives us a list of workers that God gave to the early churches. Okay, and this is not a list of ministries, but the work that was performed by these men did represent a job that was done in the church. So we can use this list in Ephesians chapter 4 to broaden our understanding of ministries that can be done for or during church. But the primary list of ministries is 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, but what does Ephesians 4:11 say? And he gave some apostles. He's talking about churches. He gave some churches apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, referring to the fact that he gave all the rest pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? So, in the early church, there were apostles that some churches had the benefit of having right in their services. In other churches, there were prophets that the church had the benefit of having in their services. And a lot of these overlapped, by the way. There were prophets in the church, in some churches that had apostles. And there were some that didn't have one or the other. And some churches had evangelists, like the one that Philip was attending. Wherever Philip was, that church had an evangelist. And some, meaning the other churches, had pastors and teachers. Okay, so this is a list of jobs that was fulfilled in the early church. A list of the workers that God gave to the early church. So these workers are also, and I give you an idea of the jobs that can be done in the local church as well. So there's an evangelist. Evangelism is a job that can be done. All right, but go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. This is the actual list of church ministries. And the actual verse that lists all of the ministries is verse 28. Verse 28 alone. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Okay? So I'm going to tip this over. Maybe you can read it better. So up here is the spiritual gifts. This is the church. We're talking about the administrations of the gifts or the types of ministries we can use our gifts in. Okay? So the first one on the top is apostle. Apostle. The ministry of an apostle. And before we jump into that, let me make one more quick note. The administrations or ministries of the church could be said to be the type of work or style of work or the general description of the work needing to be done for the church. Okay, so when we talk about administrations, this is simply the type of work that needs to be done. And let me draw a quick line here. So one person has the gift of exhortation. And God says that person with the gift of exhortation is supposed to use it as an apostle. He is supposed to use his gift in the church. The type of work he is supposed to do with his gift of exhortation, the type of ministry that he's supposed to do is, one of them is, be an apostle with it. Use it as an apostle. Or one sent forth. That's what the word apostle means. A sent forth one. We know that the office of apostle is impossible to be filled, as it was only available to a man who had seen and talked with the risen Christ. Okay, so we're not talking about making an office of an apostle. We are simply talking about the work of an apostle, the definition of the word, a sent forth one. Hence, the word is describing the ministry of a missionary. Okay. A missionary. So when we think of apostle, we should think immediately of a missionary, a sent forth one. So if a person has a gift of exhortation, he is to use that gift as a missionary. A missionary. Okay, notice, please, that the ministry of a missionary or apostle is placed first in the list of ministries of the church. This should tell us that missionaries are very special and honorable people to God. The ministry of missionary or apostle is listed above pastoring in Ephesians 4, and it's listed here before the primary ministries of a pastor, that of prophesying and teaching, which leads us to understand that we need to hold, as a church, as a body of Christ, we need to hold missionaries and their work in high esteem. Very high esteem. They, not the pastor of the churches here in America, but they are the ones that left father and mother. They left kin and country to serve the Lord Jesus in a foreign, strange, and difficult place. And God holds them worthy of high honor above the rest of us in the kingdom and economy of Jesus Christ, okay? So when we have a missionary, we should show them respect. We should show them honor, okay? It would be very improper to be disrespectful to a missionary. God holds them in high esteem. But that's a side note. But going back to using our gifts, the ministry of apostle or missionary is listed first. And it's listed first because it is the most important ministry of the church that we are commanded to use our gifts in. And notice, I put the box, this ministry, outside the door, the church door. It's outside of the church. This is the only job located outside, physically outside of the church. We are to use our gifts always within the church except for this one. The most important one. We're to use this one outside the doors of the church. We're to go out of the church and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost. This is the foremost job, the most important job. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. Jesus said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is the ministry of a missionary. You and I are called to be missionaries, not foreign missionaries. At least not yet, since we're still here. Not foreign missionaries, but we are to be local missionaries, going to the lost. And no matter which gift you have been given, God says you are to do every ministry. If you have mercy, you are to use the office of an apostle and share the gospel. If you have a gift of prophecy, or the gift of ministry, or teaching, or giving, or ruling, you are to use your gift in this ministry of the local church, the ministry of being a missionary. No matter which gift you have, you are to use that gift through that ministry. It is the foremost, it is number one, numero uno, the main occupation, the chief administration, the leading cardinal business, the great commission, the grand theme, the capital master key, biggest, first, central, greatest, highest, overarching, most dominant, paramount, predominant, preeminent, premier, and supreme ministry of the local church, sharing the gospel. Why? Because it is the heartbeat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the complete reason for why he came to earth, to save the lost. And so even though it is outside the local church, it is the supreme ministry of the local church. And no matter what gift you have, you are to use your gift through, and by the way, next week we're going to have the operations down here, so you are to use your gift through this ministry operate it properly. Okay? So these are just the ministries through which you use your gift, okay? And I hope you can all understand this, because this is probably the simplest lesson as far as using your spiritual gifts. Understanding spiritual gifts is harder, and then the operations of the spiritual gifts is probably harder to understand than this one. This is just the type of ministry you should use your gift through. Okay? This is just the type of ministry you should use your gift through. So first, being a missionary, the ministry of apostle. And then secondly, that of a prophet. Again, a prophet. The definition of a prophet is found in 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go there again, just to see the definition of a New Testament church age prophet. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Okay? A prophet speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Therefore, he's a preacher. He just literally is a preacher. He or she. Okay? If ladies can have the gift of prophecy too. Now, they're not to use their gift of prophecy in the pulpit, but they can have the gift of prophecy, being a proclaimer of truth. So, but the ministry is a proclaimer. The ministry is proclaiming truth to man for their edification, their exhortation, and or their comfort. In other words, there's preaching to be done within the church. There's preaching to be done within the church. Preaching must be done. Preaching is commanded to be done. This is the foremost action within the local church. Within the local church, it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have many commands to preach. Matthew 10:27, Jesus said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So preaching is very important for the local church. It is so important within the church that God placed a curse upon any that would preach improperly or preach improper doctrine. Turns me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Preaching is so important that God placed a curse upon any that would do it improperly or preach another gospel, if you will. Verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again." He repeats it for emphasis, which means God really means this. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." So God is dead serious about the preaching of the gospel. They that do it improperly, or they that share the wrong doctrine, are accursed by God. It's a very serious thing. Okay? But, again, each one of us, no matter what spiritual gift we have, is to use the ministry of a proclaimer or a prophet as part of properly using our spiritual gift. So someone with mercy at times is to use the ministry of a prophet or proclaimer to get truth across to someone, okay? They are to use this ministry, to go through that ministry to get truth to someone else, okay? Men of our church who are living righteous lives, which means lives set apart from public or known sin, would be allowed to fill this pulpit. That's kind of what this means. If the Lord put a message upon your heart, men, you'd be allowed to share that from the pulpit if you're living a righteous life. Now, I'm not stating qualifications for pastors. I'm not stating qualifications for deacons. I'm simply saying what the Bible teaches as who could fill the pulpit. Who can fill the pulpit is not just an ordained minister. It's not just a deacon. It's not just someone who meets the qualifications for those offices. The godly layman of our church can use their spiritual gift, no matter what it is, to fill this pulpit and be a proclaimer of truth from the pulpit, if God puts a message upon your heart. Okay? That's what we're talking about, of using your spiritual gift in every capacity within the church. God wants everybody to be a proclaimer of truth. Now, ladies, you can't fill the pulpit, but you can still be a proclaimer of truth. You can do it one-on-one. Some preaching, a little bit, not a whole lot of preaching, is done one-on-one. We need men and women in the church to look for opportunities to preach to someone, and normally it's going to be someone younger than you, to preach to someone, not publicly, but to preach to them more like a counseling time, one-on-one with them. You can take someone aside to preach privately to them the things of the Lord, okay? You ladies, you can be a preacher one-on-one to other ladies and to the young people. Men, you can be a preacher one-on-one to other men and to the young people, okay? You can fill that job. You can use this ministry of the church. And then a third ministry of the church. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, God has set some in the church, first apostles or missionaries, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. In many ways, we can employ teaching in the same manner we use preaching, okay? Again, men can fill the pulpit to teach. Men have done so. Brother Benzel and Brother Cloud both primarily taught the Bible when they filled the pulpit here. They were teaching the Bible. They weren't so much preaching. They were more teaching, especially Brother Cloud, for sure. He was simply teaching, straightforward. He wasn't preaching doctrines or anything. He was teaching the doctrines of the Bible. So if you are a teacher, if you have the gift of teaching, you can use this ministry of the church. You can use this ministry of church. In fact, we're supposed to use every ministry of the church, no matter what gift we have. So right now we're on this one. I don't want to lose my place. Okay? So if you have the gift of teaching, certainly you'll want to use the ministry of being a teacher in the church. But even if you are a ruler, have the gift of ruling, God wants you to use the gift, or the ministry of teaching, and work through this ministry to get truth across to people. Let me write truth over here. To get truth, God's word, across to people. Okay? That's one too many lines. But anyway, you get the idea. Okay? So every one of us is to use the ministry of teaching to get the Bible truth across to others. A big difference between teaching and preaching, the ministries of preaching and teaching, a big difference is that a lot of teaching can be done outside of the pulpit. Not a whole lot of preaching, not comparatively speaking, not a whole lot of preaching can be done compared to teaching outside of the pulpit. For instance, all of the parents of our church need to be teaching their children at home the Word of God. That's a lot of teaching that needs to happen outside the pulpit. Of course, those with the gift of teaching, who love teaching, in other words, the spiritual gift here, those who have that gift can take that gift and disciple a younger person one-on-one. That would be a wise thing to do. You can teach school, okay? I know it's not technically teaching the Bible, the Word of God, but teaching school, especially godly schooling, is helpful for the church. It's helpful for your own children, for sure. But if you have time and you're a godly example in the church and you love to teach, you could offer your services to be a tutor for other families. I know Sister Sarah Pooter has done this in the past, and it was a blessing to the families and to the church because the young people learned more, were educated more, okay? They can read the Bible better now. They know simple things about the world around them that they didn't know before. That is helpful to raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you can be a tutor for the church. If you have the gift of teaching, you can use the ministry of teaching in that way. And even if you don't have the gift of teaching, by the way, but you still like to teach, you could still use the ministry of teaching in that way. You can use the ministry of teaching not only to teach the Bible, but to teach school. You can teach character. You can teach character not only by words, by taking a young person or a group of young people aside, and you can teach a group or one at a time. What it means to be diligent and lay it out before them with a word lesson. Or you could teach them what it means to be respectful or whatever character trait God puts upon your heart. Or you could teach the group or one-on-one by actions. Perhaps God has put it upon your heart that, you know, there's some young men in the church that I would like to teach how to be a hard worker. And so you could take them out and go split firewood with them. Okay? In fact, we've done that before with some of the men and some of the young men. And it was a good character building time. Okay? So you can use the ministry of teaching in many, many ways. And a lot of it is outside of the pulpit. And then the next ministry of the church, the gift of miracles. Again, it is mentioned in verse 28. Thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles. We know that none of us have the ability from the Lord to perform miracles like the apostles of old did. That part of this ministry of miracles is for sure long gone. But God is still in the business of miracles. Amen? He is still a miracle-working God. So miracles still happen. And you and I can be a part of that ministry primarily through prayer. Pray for miracles for others. Now, you shouldn't pray necessarily for miracles too much for yourself. God isn't overly interested in working miracles for you in a selfish way, okay? The real ministry is praying for miracles for others. We can be a part of the ministry of miracles through prayer. Pray for God to meet needs in extraordinary ways. Pray for God to meet needs in extraordinary ways. Pray for God to help someone in the church that hasn't been able to work and that the rent is due, and pray that God meets that need. That person, the one that can't pay their bill, to them it's an impossibility for that bill to be paid. But if God met that need to that person, it would be a miracle, wouldn't it? And that's exactly the idea here of miracles. As we are praying for God to meet the needs of others in extraordinary ways, once in a while, God will give us the ability to meet the need. For instance, like the person who can't pay their rent, and they lost their job, the rent is due, they have no way of coming up with the money, but God has given you a bounty. And then it would be a miracle to the person receiving the ability to pay their rent to receive the funds for that. And you and I can be involved in this ministry in that way, by prayer and once in a while by actually giving to meet needs in an extraordinary way. And this, of course, is one reason why when we give, it should usually be anonymous, so that God and not us get the benefit and get the glory for meeting the need. And if when God gets the glory, then it can be a miraculous story. But if the person has to say, well, you know, a brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so gave me the money to meet that need, it's not quite so miraculous anymore. But if they say, well, you know, I don't have any idea where this money came from, but God knew I was desperate, and God knew I couldn't pay the bill, and I was praying, and God, out of the clear blue sky, I found this money, or this money was sent to me, this money was given to me. I don't know who it was that gave me this money, but God does. And God gets a greater glory for that. Okay? So we can be in the ministry of miracles through prayer and through physically meeting the needs. But I suggest you meet the needs anonymously when you can. That way God gets the true glory. And God gets the honor for the miracle. The fifth ministry of the church, within the church, is the ministry of healings. And just like the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, again, is no longer, the ability to heal, I should say, is no longer a part of this ministry. We don't have the ability to heal anybody like the apostles did. We can't go up to the lame man and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I mean, we could, if you have enough faith. I can't. I don't have that much faith. So, for the most part, the gifts of healings is done in that sense. Karen, turn around and stop playing. But just like miracles, God is also still in the business of healing people, isn't he? So again, we can enter into this ministry, healings, just like we do the ministry of miracles, through prayer. Every time God gives good health back to someone, he has given them the gift of healing. You and I can be an essential part of this ministry through prayer. James 5:16 says, "Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You and I have no idea, and we never will have the full scope of how powerful prayer is on this side of eternity. It'll only be when we get to heaven, when we realize, "Oh, wow, if only I had prayed more. God would have done great things if only I had prayed more." Okay? With healings, you could also make the gift of healing a lifetime occupation by learning medicine. Doctors and nurses are literally working alongside the Lord to save lives and bring healing. Now, of course, most doctors and nurses don't acknowledge that and don't have any idea that they are working with God to bring healing, and they certainly wouldn't acknowledge it if they knew it. But it is only the Lord that can truly heal. And so any healing that comes through a doctor's administrations is healing by God, not the doctor. A doctor can only try to help. And if you really want to get involved in the gift of healing, aside from prayer, beyond prayer, then you should pursue medicine. That is working alongside God to bring healing to others. And it is a much more powerful thing when the doctor or nurse is saved and knows this to be true. That it's not of them that healing comes, but is of the Lord. And they can use that to share the gospel with those they minister to. But most of us can only be and will only be involved in this ministry through prayer. For sure. You know, we're not all going to be doctors or nurses. But that, in and of itself, just praying for healing, is far more powerful than, again, you and I will ever know on earth until we get to heaven. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we can be involved in miracles, we can be involved in healings by being prayer warriors, and asking God to meet the needs and bring healing to others. And then the sixth ministry of the church, the ministry of helps. This is simply physically meeting needs, doing grunt work and physical labor for the Lord. Okay? This is certainly a physical ministry. You can be involved in helps through, for instance, being a caretaker for an elder in the church. That is a help type ministry. You are helping others. You can be in a helps ministry by going with me or a deacon to visit someone. Going to visit someone with a pastor or another or a deacon means that you aren't the primary visitor. You know, the pastor is there to visit the person. But you could be there to enable the pastor to, for instance, enable me to even be able to knock on a lady's door and go visit, for instance, Chrissy. I need another person with me to go visit a lady. Okay? So just being there and being available is a help ministry. Excuse me. But also, it's a support ministry. You're encouraging the one that you are going with, and you're also encouraging the one you're visiting. Okay? So you're encouraging both the one you're going with to visit somebody, and you're encouraging the one visited. So not only are you enabling the visitation, but you are encouraging and being a blessing to be there. You can be involved in a help ministry in so many different ways. You can be involved in cleaning the church, cleaning someone else's home within the church. You can be involved in cooking for the church or for someone within the church, babysitting for someone in the church, nursing someone who has an injury. You can be involved in cutting the grass of someone or the church, giving an extra needed hand to someone who has a project, simply changing a diaper or preparing a meal, comforting the hurting, keeping the supplies stocked, replacing a burned out light bulb, replacing dead batteries, cleaning the church and getting it ready for Sunday services. These are all helps ministries of the church. And every one of us with any or all spiritual gifts can work through a helps ministries to share truth with others. So many little things happen in a church and need done by someone. These are the helpers of the ministry of the word. You can be a help to the ministry. Minister through helps. And then number 7, governments, the ministry of governments. Again, we'll read verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Okay? The ministry of governments is a lot like the gift of ruling. It's not necessarily governing the church. It's simply maintaining church business. Maintaining church business. Just like ruling is more of a supervisor position of a church job. The ministry of governments is simply maintaining church business. The job of treasurer, what Brother Nathan does, would be a big one and would fit right in here. He keeps the church accounts straight. That's certainly maintaining church business. Also, the secretary of the church, he keeps the books accurate and up to date. That's maintaining church business, a ministry of government. But also, things like overseeing the church decorations. Overseeing the church decorations. Sister Jill is doing a fabulous job seeing to it that the church gets decorated for the different times of the year. I didn't have to say anything. Sister Jill came with her kids and decorated the church for Christmas time. And in a little bit, I won't have to say a thing, and Sister Jill will come in and decorate for whatever comes next. She knows what comes next. And she does a fabulous job, and it is a big help. It's a ministry of government in the church. Brother Jonathan and Brother Caleb run the recording booth and sound system. This is an area of government of the church. Obviously, I can't do that while I'm up here. I need somebody to do that. This is where the members assist in the work. Okay? The ministry of governments. Being a check signer. Brother Dale's becoming a check signer. He's therefore being responsible for the monies of the church going out. This is governing of the church. Okay? This is a helps ministry as well, but more of an official capacity. Okay? Several of the ladies are all working together to maintain the kitchen and the bathroom supplies. I believe Sister Drina is overseeing that. And you may not think that's a big important job, but you would suddenly realize that job is very important if you suddenly realize there's no toilet paper in the bathrooms today. You would certainly appreciate the job they're doing then. Brother Jared took it upon his family to be our primary lawn caretakers last year. Thank you, Kuiper family. That is a government help in the church, taking care of things. You can consider it a help or a government, because it's something official that has to be done, which is why I consider it part of the governing of the church. It's something that I officially would have to make sure. It would fall to me to make sure it happens in the church. And so it's kind of part of governing. Brother Tyler's family has graciously been our backup church cleaners for many years. The backup when no one signs the cleanup list and cleans that week. I can't begin to tell you what a blessing that is to me and my family that we don't have to worry about such things. Sister Danita prepares over half of the bulletin every week. She picks out the songs, and she finds those interesting articles that are usually on the back page. Sister Darina provides us with a printed prayer list for the church on Wednesday night, but not tonight. She just had a baby. Sister Sarah did that for many years before her. This is part of helping in the governing of the church. You see, if I and my wife, as the pastor and pastor's wife, were responsible to do all of this type of stuff ourselves, myself with her, it would never all be done each week. It would be impossible for me and my wife to do all this stuff. We simply couldn't do it all. It would never all be finished. I mean, I might get half the list done this week and the other half done that the next week, but every week it wouldn't all be done. You see, the bigger the church, the more responsibilities there are to get done every week. But God gave the members gifts to assist in these two areas, helps and governments, to assist in the ministry, the day-to-day service of the church. Okay. And then the last one, tongues, diversities of tongues. And we're almost out of time, but that's all right. Tongues is the interpreting and translating of foreign languages, obviously. We don't have the supernatural ability of knowing other tongues like they did. That has ceased. But there is still a ministry in this area for most churches, for many churches. Once in a while, there is a need for a tongues help in our church. We've seen that before. We've had Hispanic visitors come that couldn't understand English. They needed a translator. That's where the administration of tongues would come in. Praise the Lord, we've got someone who understands Spanish. Well, two of them. Sometimes he doesn't want to admit it. Some folks understand Spanish and can be a translator. Okay? This is where the diversities of tongues comes into play. Translating Scripture. That's a big need throughout the world. Some people are blessed with the ability to learn languages quickly, like Brother Bill Patterson. We know him. So Brother Patterson is using the gift that God has given to him to translate the Bible into several different languages. He's always working on a translation project. That's the gift of the administration of tongues. And of course, many churches, not ours always, ours only once in a while, but many churches always need a translator. Churches need a Hispanic translator. Other times, a church needs a sign language translator. They have deaf people that come to church. And, of course, they can't hear what's going on, so it must be translated into sign language for them. This all falls under the administration of tongues. So if you know a foreign language, you can have a ministry in the church through the gift of tongues. Wow, we can use the gift of tongues today. In that way, we sure can. But these are the ministries of the church. Missionary, proclaiming truth or preaching, teaching, miracles, healings, helps, governments, tongues. Every one of us is to be, God intends for each one of us to be using our gift through each one. This one is more of a specialty one, so not all of us could do that. However, we can do that through tracts. I'm about to lose it. Tracts that are in different languages. So you can be involved in a tongue ministry through using a tract in a foreign language. So God intends for all of us, no matter what gift we have, to use our gift through all of these ministries of the church to get truth to people, to teach truth. These are the primary ministries of the church, these eight. God intends you to use your gift, no matter what it is, teaching, prophecy, ruling, mercy, no matter what it is, he intends you to use it through each of these ministries of the church. Turn with me in closing to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Notice there's no gift of speaking per se. I mean, there's teaching and prophesying, but that's not called speaking. It's not the gift of speaking. But here, the idea is using your gift in one of those speaking type capacities. Doesn't matter what gift you have. Verse 11 says, if any man speak, not just the man who has the gift of teaching, or not just the man who has the gift of prophecy, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Every gift can be used in every ministry. Remember that these gifts are just our motivational gifts. In other words, they are simply our motivation for serving the Lord in these ministries. And we're going to look at the operations, next week, Lord willing. These are just our motivation. We love to the person with the gift of prophecy loves to proclaim truth. He loves to serve. He loves to teach. He loves to encourage. He loves to give. He loves to supervise. He loves to alleviate pain. Or she, of all of them. Okay? And that is their motivation for going forth, for proclaiming truth, for teaching truth, for being a prayer warrior for miracles and being a prayer warrior for healing, and for helping in the church, doing any menial task for the church, or doing some ruling job for the church, or translating for the church. Those are the motivations for doing all of those things. So it doesn't matter which one you have. You're to use it in every capacity to serve the Lord through the church there. Okay, every gift can be used in every ministry. That's exactly what God wants and expects for all his children. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that this would be plain to each and every one. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to get a hold of this idea and use it for your honor and glory, to serve you with it and through it. In Jesus' name, amen.